calling to do, and I'll let Mr. Warner talk about the rescheduling.
Okay, Mr. Chair, we have three bills on the agenda today, and the first is House Bill 2271, which is from the Revenue Department, and I don't think that one needs to be rescheduled. The other two, however, do. Senate Bill 266 is a bill that would change the administrative responsibilities for the corporate income tax, collecting the corporate income tax and administering it from Department of Revenue to the Insurance Division and Department of Consumer Business Services. The bill is proposed as an efficiency measure because the Insurance Division is the regulatory authority over the industry. However, given the confidentiality requirements of the corporate income tax and linking to the federal system, some issues have come up around that, and questioning whether the Department of Consumer Business Services can match those confidentiality requirements the Revenue Department is able to maintain. So that issue has come up, and they have requested that we delay hearing on that while they work through those issues.
Any questions from the committee? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered, we'll put those over, those two bills.
Okay. And Senate Bill 299, Mr. Chair, there are some issues in terms, that was the Waymaster bill, and there were some issues in terms of the labor force and how to treat the labor force of ODOT with respect to the state police, and some of those issues are still being worked out.
And they indicated that they're not quite ready to make their testimony on this bill.
So there'll be a dash two?
Well, there may be more dashes than that, but there will not
dash be, one, yeah.
There will be no rush to judgment in this committee until everybody's ready. So, any objections to putting over 299 and 266? So ordered. And we have before us is House Bill 2271. Mr. Warren, would you like to orient the committee on 2271?
I would, Mr. Chair, but I think Ed Waters could do a better job than
Mr. Waters.
That means Paul doesn't understand this bill. I've learned
this,
Mr. Chair, among these guys. They're vying constantly for being the most confusing guy in the office.
Pretty straightforward.
That's pretty scary, Mr. Chair.
You had it hands down for a long time, Mr. Yates.
Waters,
morning, Mr. Chairman.
House Bill 2271 is brought to us by the Department of Revenue. It's a tax administration bill, and what it does is it affirms that a taxpayer must claim the maximum amount of a tax credit allowed to the extent of the taxpayer's tax liability before calculating any carry forward to the next and future years. This provision is intended to clear up an uncertainty that arose out of a recent Oregon Supreme Court ruling. And we have representatives from the Department of Revenue to explain this bill in greater detail.
Thank you, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman Ferrioli, members.
Let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 2271. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Chairman Ferrioli, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. House Bill 2271 actually has three objectives to it. First of all, it's our belief that very few people would not want to claim the maximum amount of a tax credit in a given year. You've probably been advised that you never pay today a tax that you can put off until tomorrow, absent some other provision such as getting a deduction for that. So we believe that most people are going to want to claim the maximum amount of the credit anyway. The second issue is that this would conform to federal law, because federal law does mandate that a taxpayer claiming a credit use the maximum amount up to the extent of their tax liability. So we have conformity with federal provisions in this as well. Probably the main reason has to do with administrative issues for us and minimizing confusion for taxpayers. And I think if I just walk through an example, a very simple example, it would help you see this. Assume that I'm getting ready to file my Oregon tax return, so I calculate my tax, I claim my credits, I have $100 that I owe, but I'm still entitled to take a child and dependent care credit. And when I figure out the amount of that credit, it's $300. Well, my tax is only $100. So what I would do is claim $100, bring my tax for this year down to zero, and carry over to the next year $200 of that credit, because this particular one has a carryover provision. So I get down to zero tax. I send my return off to the department, and they process it. In the processing of the return, they find out I made a mistake. The tax I actually owed was $150, not $100. Well, prior to this case, the department would send me a notice that said, we think you made a mistake. We think your tax is really $150. We've increased your child and dependent care credit to $150, so you still owe us no tax, but you need to adjust your carryover for the next year because it's not $300, it's $250. And everything would be fine. I'd look at my return, I'd say, yes, I made a mistake, you're right, and things are fine. No correspondence, no notices going back and forth after that. With this case, though, we're not exactly sure that we could do that, because if the tax is adjusted to $150, but if the taxpayer can choose how much credit they want to use, we don't have authorization to increase the credit that they're using to match the tax liability. So in that case, we would send the notice, again, saying, you made a mistake, your tax is $150, but you only used $100 of your credit. So now you owe us $50 in tax, you owe us interest on the tax, and if you don't like this, you need to correspond with us. And we think that's going to be confusing to the taxpayer, because the taxpayer will say, but I had $300 worth of credit, why didn't you just use another $50 and not send me the bill? So we're trying to reduce administrative issues for us and reduce potential confusion for the taxpayer.
Mr. Chair.
Question.
So that was, thank you for that example. That really did clarify it. Can you be more specific with regard to the Smurfit case itself? What was at stake there?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, in the Smurfit case, we adjusted the amount of credit that the tax, it was a pollution control credit,
mm-hmm.
and we adjusted the amount of the credit used in an early year and reduced the carryover to a subsequent year. And the court said that we didn't have authority to increase that amount of credit that was used in the earlier year.
Well, Mr. Chair,
question.
Follow up. But, I mean, this goes to the Supreme Court, so Smurfit obviously had an issue with you guys doing that. Why was that such a huge issue to them? I mean, it's bigger than the $100 versus the $150, obviously.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, you're right. There was another issue in that, and the particular facts in that case were that the adjustment made to the credit, to use up more of the credit in the earlier year, was a year that was closed to adjustment for the department. So we could not issue a notice of deficiency for that year. But in our audit, we took the position that the taxpayer should have used more credit because they had underreported income in that year. And if they had correctly reported it, they would have had more of the credit to use, and their carryover to an open year would have been reduced.
Okay. And they just wanted the latitude, Mr. Chair, then to be able to apply credit when they wanted?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, I believe that in that case the company was arguing that we didn't have authority to go back to that year and adjust the amount of the credit that was used. The court in its decision did not get to that issue. They simply said you don't have authority to mandate the amount of the credit that's being used in the first place.
Okay. Thanks.
I guess following that one,
I want you to go back and get it.
There are cases where the companies or the persons earning a credit might intentionally want to carry forward a credit. Are there not?
Mr. Chair, that's possible.
But the federal statute requires that the credit be claimed in the year that it was earned.
Mr. Chair, as far as I know, all of the credit statutes under federal law mandate that you use up to the amount of your tax liability for that year. And in fact, I think under their provisions, they have ordering steps for what credit is claimed first and so forth.
Okay. Any further questions from the committee? Hearing and seeing none, I'll ask if there's any other person here present that wishes to offer testimony on House Bill 2271. Hearing and seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 2271. Mr. Chair. Mr. Vice Chair.
remove House Bill 2271 through the floor with a reduced pass.
Colleagues, it's been moved by the Vice Chair that House Bill 2271 go to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions? Questions?
I do have one comment. Apparently, Mr. Waters has regained the edge in the confusing department. There's a driving privileges 807-010 that was right underneath the Senate Revenue 2271, and it took me 5 minutes to try to correlate that darn thing.
Were you successful in the correlation?
I was successful, but it was a bad idea. And so I want to thank Mr. Waters again for being so helpful.
I think that was related to one of the bills that was carried over.
299, I believe.
That would be my guess.
That in your file 299, Senator Corcoran, and that you'll be ahead of the game.
My heart soars like an eagle, Mr. Chair.
Even a clock that stops right twice a day. if there are no other objections, questions, or comments, then we will... that is so ordered. So House Bill 2271 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I need a carrier for this bill, not Senator Kirk.
Senator Starr just woke up and said that he would be happy to do that for you.
I can do that.
Senator Starr will carry. It's ordered. Colleagues, because of the carryover of your bills, we have again become the model of efficiency, finishing our hearing in 14 minutes and change. I suggest that you rest, reflect, and prepare for the week's work ahead of us. So,
Mr. Chair, we've noticed that given the discussion this last few weeks, we may want to recommend to Mr. Walters that next year he do give Senator Kirkland a Christmas present.
Hearing nothing worth repeating, especially to our listeners.
I had a
the internet
economics.
The hearing is closed.